الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان لا اله الا الله اشهد ان محمدا رسول الله اشهد ان محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله
لا اله الا الله Safa Duru Sarmani Jaga, please straighten the rows. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. استغفر الله Alhamdulillah, we have a group of brothers here from Edinburgh, inshallah, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've just done their gasht, and I did suggest to them that it would be better if they did the talk, inshallah. They're out in the path of Allah with their health and wealth, but they've asked me to do the dars, so I'm going to do the dars as usual, the Riyadu Salihin hadith lessons, and inshallah after that one of the brothers can inshallah do the tashkil. But I request everyone to sit and benefit inshallah. So inshallah baqiya dua ke baad dars hadith hoga, aur hamare jo saathi Allah taala ke raaste mein hain unse bhi darkhast hai ke do teen baat wo bhi arz kar le saathiyon ke samne aur tashkil bhi kar le, taaki mashallah unhone qurbani ki hai, Allah taala unki qurbani qabul farmaye aur hame bhi thoda jo hai targhib bhi de de inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu ta'ala wassalam wa sallam ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Inshallah, we'll have a brief lesson of hadith. Brothers request to participate. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Ma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, last week we completed the chapter of desiring for death. Should a person desire death? Should a person make dua for death? And when is it a good time to make dua for death? And if a person is to make dua for death, what words should they use? So this was the Bab chapter which was discussed last week. So inshallah, moving on to the next chapter. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought a very important chapter titled Babul Wara'i wa Tarki Shubuhat, the chapter of Wara'. Wara', inshallah we'll get to what does Wara' mean. Wa Tarki Shubuhat. Wara' is a quality like the other akhlaq and the other characteristics and qualities which are in the heart. Akhlaq are in the heart. A person may see a display of them on the body, but the root of them is in the heart. That's why we should never judge a person he has bad akhlaq, because you don't know the root in the heart. Sometimes by the way a person speaks we say he's full of himself. We don't know. We're judging that, assessing that by the way they speak, but we can't see the reality because in the heart. In the heart, if a person feels that they are the worst of all the people, everybody else is better than them, but now in their speech someone can misunderstand and think, oh, they. So we should never judge people, because the root of akhlaq is in the heart. And that's where qalbun salim comes into play. Where in the Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Those people who Allah Ta'ala will truly be pleased with are those who meet Allah with a sound heart. A heart which has not been ruined by bad akhlaq. Default state is bad akhlaq, because the ruh, such a beautiful entity Allah created inside of us. And the Sufiya, they talk about the lataif, the ruh, latifa of ruh. It's inside of the body. Subtle thing, nobody can understand it. When the Yahud, they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us, what is the ruh? We want to know. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'll tell you tomorrow. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Allah Ta'ala's hukam, through Allah Ta'ala's decision, did not say insha'Allah. And for many days, Angel Jibreel alayhi wa sallam did not come. Eventually, when Angel Jibreel alayhi wa sallam came, the Angel Jibreel alayhi wa sallam said, look, Allah Ta'ala has revealed, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. No answer was given about the ruh. They're asking you about the ruh. Tell them the ruh is a matter only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of. And you people have been given very little knowledge. But it's inside your body. Scientists can do, doctors can do an x-ray scan, they won't discover the ruh. They'll figure out every other part of the anatomy, but not the ruh. But it's there, and the ruh is the asal. It's the main thing. When the body tastes death, ruh continues to journey. As soon as the ruh comes into wujud, into existence, that's it. Now Allah Ta'ala blesses it with the quality of baqa. It will now remain forever and ever and ever. In the human being and in the jinn. See? The ruh, when it comes into existence, it will now remain forever and ever. Animals also have ruh. Other jandar, living things have ruh. But Allah Ta'ala has decreed an expiry date for their ruh. They have a ruh, but it will go. Allah Ta'ala, the way He created that ruh, Allah will finish that ruh. But our ruh has been created forever. It will now journey forever. The final destination, Jannah or Jahannam, it will reach one of them. So this ruh, so it's inside of the body. And it's created, subhanAllah, so beautiful, latif, subtle. And subhanAllah, when a person works on their ruhaniyat, their spirituality, they do lots of dhikr and they do lots of mujahadat and riyadat, and they fight against this ruh. What happens is the ruh goes back to its original form. It wants to connect with Allah Ta'ala. It dislikes sins. It hates sins. But when you don't do any of that, you leave the ruh in its natural state, then it has the base qualities, the evil qualities, which as soon as it tasted dunya, as soon as a child screamed, tasted dunya, ruh became loaded with all of the desires and shahwat and all the bad things. Many people will live their life like this and die like this, with their ruh buried under the rubble. And some fortunate souls, Allah Ta'ala gives them tawfiq. No. I need to rediscover my ruh. I need to reignite my ruh, give life to my ruh. Start doing lots of dhikr of Allah. They start fasting, start doing mujahadat. Allah Ta'ala's recognition is acquired. Sins are disliked. A sin is, you know, feels like poison that a person has consumed. And kufr, the worst of all sins. So in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions three things. When they come into your heart, you've tasted the reality of iman. One of them is that a person fears kufr more than they fear death. I would rather die than kufr. Don't care what happens. You can put me in a burning cauldron of fire, like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went to the Romans. And the Romans, they said, if you do not leave Islam, yeah, we will boil you in the cauldron. He said, boil me in the cauldron. Boil me alive. Boiling someone alive. He said, I'll do that, I can't leave Iman. But the reality is this ruh. And ruh, and then you have qalb. Qalb. These are very latif things. And the qalb is the place where you have the akhlaq. Again, qalb is not the heart. You have the physical heart, which is here, right? You also have latifa qalb. Latifa, a subtle thing which Allah has created inside the body, also called qalb. Every time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about qalb, Allah ta'ala talks about qalb, not referring to this lump of flesh which is beating blood around your body, no. That's the confusion. Allah ta'ala is referring to this latifa qalb. Subtle entity created in the body. There are six of them. How many? Six things Allah has created in your body you can't see. And all of them are powerhouses of ruhaniyat and spirituality. Through any of them you can acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The latifa ruh, latifa qalb, latifa nafs, just near you under your belly button. You have latifa sir, which is here between your ruh and between your qalb. Latifa khafi, which is here. And latifa akhfa, which is here. Six of them. Doorways to Allah's ma'rifat. When the pious people do lots of dhikr, one of the latifas unlocks. As soon as it unlocks, they're through the doorway. They're swimming in the ocean of Allah's love. These six secret jewels Allah has kept inside our body. Most people don't even know they exist. Most people will never discover them. Even non-Muslims sometimes discover them. These Buddhists that do their meditations, and the Indians, yogis that do their yoga, and their, all of these, they enter through one of those lataif. And then they experience amazing tranquility and peace, but they don't recognize Allah Ta'ala. So they say this is its inner peace. Inner peace, I've acquired inner peace. But they don't connect it that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The true inner peace is through the remembrance of Allah. So they acquire a maza, but they can't connect it that this maza was created by Allah Ta'ala inside of your body. Your universe is inside of your body. Your happiness and peace is inside of your body. So akhlaq, I wanted to mention this point, is very important. The roots of akhlaq and good character are in this latifa-i qalb. It's in there. Okay. When a person has jood and sakhawa and generosity there, a display of it is that, such as by asking me something, and I give it, generosity. So he might see a jalak, a flicker of that quality of jood which is in there, or nobody may ever see it. If I'm sitting alone, nobody talks to me, would anybody say I'm generous? Nobody will say it, because we are judging generosity on your action, but the real quality of akhlaq, of generosity, jood, sakhawat, is in the heart. Taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not on the face. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? At-taqwa ha-huna wa ashara ila sadrihi. Taqwa is here, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed at his heart. Meaning taqwa, you're not going to see in someone's body, look at him, he's wearing a Hugo Boss jacket, he's doing this, he doesn't have taqwa. You can't. Taqwa is not in your body. Taqwa is in your heart. Tawakkul, 100% trust in Allah Ta'ala, is not on your body. You can wear the biggest amama. Someone's going to say, "Ha, but this is the guy with the buzurg." Or you could have the simple person, wears 9-to-5 job, works in a post office, works here, works there. Jay, very simple. Look at the brothers and sisters in Gaza. Very simple people. Masters of tawakkul in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Masters. They are people that we look at and say, subhanAllah, if there is tawakkul, it's in them. It's in others, but I'm saying this is a living display of tawakkul in these people. Not just in one person, thousands of them. Tawakkul. It's in the heart. And they don't look like big wuzurs, big amamas, big beards and big jubbas. But the reality is this, it's in the heart. Every single good khuluq is in the heart. The place of it is in the heart. That's why the pious people will talk about, look, you need to get rid of the bad qualities, which in the bad quality is the opposite of that good khuluq. The good khuluq, the good quality is tawakkul, relying 100% on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means trust. And when you trust someone, you are content. Yeah? You don't seem stressed out. I'm not stressed out. I trust him. So the believer is not stressed. No tension, because they're 100% trust reliance on Allah. Allah will handle everything. Hey, tension ke kya zarurat hai? This is tawakkul. So you see a jalak, a flicker on this on the person's face, by his calmness, his coolness, relax. The buzurgs of Allah, the pious people, are very relaxed people. They're not stressed. Because come what happens, the biggest storm, it doesn't affect them, because they know Allah Ta'ala is the creator of the storm. Allah will make the storm dissipate and remove the storm. That's it. They have nothing to stress about. Why am I stressing about a situation which is not in my control? It's not in my control, it's in Allah's control. Even if it's in my control, it's still in Allah's control. Either Allah Ta'ala has given me the ability to do something about it, or Allah Ta'ala has not given me the ability to do something about it. But the reality, the one who holds the strings of that situation, is always Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Always Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is the quality of tawakkul. Tafweed, entrusting our affairs to Allah. Raditu billahi rabba, bil islami deena, bi muhammadin nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, his tawakkul, his reliance, his humility, his every single quality that you can think of from the good akhlaq, you can see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. Because du'a is what? You're talking to Allah. You're talking to Allah. And you're not talking, saying specific things. You're talking, you're opening your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is opening his heart to Allah ta'ala, we see all these qualities inside of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's speech, which are found inside the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of those qualities is wara'. What is it called? Wara'. I don't know how to translate it into Urdu. Probably ihtiyat. Ihtiyat. Okay. To be... to take careful, to be careful, to take precaution, high degree of precaution. This is from the qualities of iman. Anywhere where I feel, ho sakta ye guna ka kam ho, possibly this might be sinful, I'm not sure, I'm not going to do it. Shak, but shak is, can have a negative connotation. Ihtiyat. Ihtiyat is positive. Shak is the more negative, doubt. Raib. In kuntum fi raibin. That's shak. In the Arabic language, there's different word for each one. So raib is used in a negative way. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. There is no shak, there's no doubt in it. So doubt is negative. But caution, to be precautious, that's positive. So wara is to take precautions, to have a lot of ihtiyat. I'm not sure if this is something which Allah Ta'ala is going to be pleased with or not. I'm not going to do it. Even if lots of scholars have said it's permissible, I still feel something in my heart. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, istafti qalbak. Apne nafs ko, apne qalb ko mufti banao. The scholars are saying that this is permissible, I still feel something off about it. Don't do it. Taqwa, wara. Wara is very closely linked. Taqwa are very closely linked to wara as well. Ihtiyat, taking precautions where you feel something might be haram, something is a grey area, you're unsure about it, not to do it, to avoid it. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings this bab. وَتَرْكِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. And to leave those things which are doubtful. Doubtful matters, the ulama haven't come to a conclusion. You know, so many people ask me about Bitcoin. Cryptocurrency. What is the fatwa on cryptocurrency? I say the scholars are still discussing. When are the scholars going to make their mind up? If the scholars can't make their mind up, it means they've got no sharh al-sadr. They've got no sharh al-sadr. They don't feel peace of heart to say this is halal. They've got doubt about it, which means they are thinking it's not clear-cut haram, but there are certain things why they can't say it's clear-cut halal. But what am I supposed to do in that situation? You're supposed to avoid. You're supposed to avoid. But I can make so much money that all the millionaires are now cryptocurrency millionaires. Nobody has heart. Cash anymore, or they're investing in that for many reasons. But scholars have said there is doubts about it. Many scholars are on the fence about it, they're unsure about it. There are so many areas which are not discovered yet about it. It's a new thing. It's going to take time for us to understand every aspect of it. Stay away from it. Allah Ta'ala has written your rizq for you in a halal avenue. Go there and look for it. Last week I was mentioning the hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ جِبْرَائِلَ نَفَثَ فِي رُوحِي أَنَّهُ لَا يَمُوتُ رَجُلٌ حَتَّى يَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهُ. Jibreel alayhi wa sallam has just inspired me with this thought from Allah that nobody will die, not a single person is going to die until Allah Ta'ala gives them their mukammal complete rizq. Whatever Allah has written for you, every penny, you will get it before you die, Jibreel alayhi wa sallam just told me. فَاتَّقُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. When you go to earn your rizq, fear Allah. First condition. Is this job something which Allah Ta'ala is going to be pleased with? Is there any element which is doubtful, haram, wrong? Fear Allah. وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. And go and work beautifully. Work hard. You're going to get whatever rizq was promised to you, but you need to work hard for it. That's the sunnah of Allah Ta'ala. You have to make the effort. فَاتَّقُ اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَن تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. And just because your rizq is coming late, delayed, abhim mujhe chahiye 1000 pounds. I need it right now, 1000 pounds. Just because it's coming late, it should not make you try and get it through the disobedience of Allah. فَإِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَنْ يُنَالَ بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ. Because whatever Allah Ta'ala has to give you His rizq, you can't get it through His ma'asiyat. You can't get it through His disobedience. When Allah created me, but Allah Ta'ala wrote for me, for example, 100,000 pounds I'm ever going to make in my life. That 100,000 pounds is going to come to me through halal avenues. It's not going to come to me through haram avenues. Whatever I get from haram avenues, another 1,000,000 pounds, that is not the rizq that Allah had promised me. That is all suht, gunah, haram, worthy of throwing in the dustbin. That if ingested will cause problems and damage, like you ingest the wrong fuel into the car, shuts down. That is what that rizq will do to me, to my du'as, to my salah, to my children, to my life, to everything. It will finish it. It will destroy it. Okay? You put the wrong fuel into the car, 50 pounds fuel, put the wrong fuel in, how much are you going to spend to get rid of that fuel now? 300 pounds, 400 pounds, how much do they cost? Gee, our taxi driver is probably no better. It's probably happened once or twice. Allah protect it from happening. Put the wrong fuel in, they're going to charge you 6-7 times more just to get rid of that bad fuel. This is what haram rizq does. Quick money, but to get rid of the effects of that haram rizq will take a lifelong effort. But halal rizq might take time to come, but it will come because Allah has promised you whatever He's promised you. Be confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Razzaq. Allah will give. And go and do whatever you need to do. Abu Ustaz Mufti Inayatullah Sahib, Abidahullah, he always says, bhai, Allah Ta'ala ne halal ke andar israf ka gunjaish nahi rakha. Abu Ustaz Mufti Inayatullah Sahib says, halal rizq that Allah has given you, Allah has not created in it the ability to be extravagant. As soon as you start being extravagant with halal rizq, it will finish. There will be no barakah. And if you continue to use it without doing israf in it, without being extravagant in it, without using in any haram avenues, that rizq will grow and grow and grow, and you will see the barakah. It's the haqiqat. Allah Ta'ala give us ihsas of this reality, understanding of this. I think maybe inshallah we'll start the chapter properly next week. Preliminary remarks inshallah on this chapter. Inshallah we'll start it properly next week. Our satis are here, mashallah, from Edinburgh. How many satis in Jamaat? 10 satis. I think you should say a few words, inshallah, and so the brothers who are sat, and then we can do a brief tashkil. Okay? To the brothers' heart, this is a very important effort. Going with your wealth, and going with sacrificing your wealth and your health, your own money, to go and call people towards Allah Ta'ala's deen. Sacrificing your own money. Okay? Allah Ta'ala grant everybody ikhlas. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the reality of this noble effort. Such a beautiful effort, clean-hearted effort, an effort which does not allow the hearts to become dirty. If the hearts are dirty doing the effort, we're doing the effort wrong. Hearts have to be clean, saf, sutra dil. Muhabbat for everyone, love for everyone, patience, tolerance, sabr, the qualities of the Anbiya alayhim salam have to develop during this. If I've been doing the effort 4 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, my heart has still got doubts about people, suspicion about people, badgumani about people, I am doing the effort wrong. Effort of the Anbiya alayhim salam. Were the Anbiya alayhim salam badguman? Were the Anbiya alayhim salam suspicious about others? But this one's not embracing Islam because he's like this. That one's not doing it because his dad didn't do it, so where is he going to do it from? This is the way we talk. His father was bad, so he's going to be bad. His family is bad, how do you expect him to be good? The way we talk. The Anbiya alayhi salam were to every single person. Every single person. They didn't care if it was Abu Jahl. They didn't care if it was Utbah or Shayba or all of these mischievous, you know, arrogant people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to each and every single one of them because every single one of them has a equal chance of becoming Muslim. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, Allah's karam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. So we have to do this effort of deen with clean heart, and then we see the benefits. We don't have to do that much effort, but if the heart is clean, we'll benefit. But if we do so much effort, but the heart is filthy, then we won't see the effort. This is not an effort of a lot of ibadah. This is not the effort where you do so much ibadah like the tasawwuf, mutasawwifun do. This is the effort where you do mujahada with a clean heart. That's it. We can do these two things. Mujahada, khidmat al-khalq, with a clean heart, subhanAllah, we ourselves will benefit. We ourselves will enjoy. Allah Ta'ala will unlock the the treasures of this effort onto us. And then, like our respected Hajj Abdul Wahhab Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, do till your dying breath, you do till your dying breath with such a clean heart. Any scholar go in front of them, start crying, saying, "Your ulama have given so much qurbani for deen." And it's not fake, genuine, so much. Because the ihsas, the reality of everything opens up to people when they do ikhlas, have ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, no tasannu, banawati, you know, putting on a show of piety, show of this, show of that. Allah Ta'ala hates and dislikes show. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala only accepts that which is sincere and original. One of the pious people, someone came to them, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, someone said, "Oh, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I went to this city in Yemen and I've got you this clothing item. My wish is that you please wear it." Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he took it and he wore it and he said, "Is this made of silk?" He said, "No, it's not made of silk." He said, "It's made of cotton. Silk is not permissible for men. Made of cotton." He said, "I still don't want to wear it." Why? "Because I'm sensing when I wear it, it's so nice, I feel something special about myself." وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah Ta'ala despises people who feel big about themselves. I am something special. He took off the cloth, cotton. But he said, "I feel something in my heart when I put this on," took it off and gave it away. As pious people of Allah Ta'ala, always mitana, mitana, apnaukum mitana. I don't want myself to be something special. You don't need to give me this extra respect. Because if a bad thought comes in my heart, I'm something special, I'm like this, and my family people respect me because I'm the nek one, pious one, this one. Something bad comes in my heart, that is taking away from the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kibriya. Allah is the only one who can allow barai to be big. Anyone else tries to be big, Allah Ta'ala destroys them, throws them into the fire of Jahannam. You have to be so careful, especially when you do the noble efforts of deen, the efforts that we're involved in, the effort of ilm, effort of tabligh, any effort of deen, person has to do with the utmost level of ikhlas and sincerity. The pious people were so particular. Make your intention correct before you do anything. Someone's saying, "Come to a janazah, janazah, come to a janazah." He says, "Hold on, let me correct my intention, why I'm going to the janazah." Don't say, "Why janazah, ajr?" Just in case there's a negative intention. If I go to janazah, people will say, "Someone pious has come. Why am I going to the janazah? For the right reason? Am I going just for this person, or am I going for the sake of Allah?" So hold on, let me fix my intention. Sayyidina Sufyan bin Uyayna, rahmatullahi, one of the pious people would say, I have never been, you know, tried to rectify anything more than I have tried to rectify my nafs. But every time I failed, just when I think that's it, my intention is now 100% for the sake of Allah, you will slip something in and make my intention change. Always being very careful, considerate, ikhlas ke saath, and have the cleanest of hearts. Allah Ta'ala give myself this. Allah Ta'ala grant us all this. Cleanest hawa. Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would say, "Hey," in his letters, in his maktubat, Mawlana Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, "Look," he wrote to someone, "that this badgumani, you see, you suspect something bad in someone's mind, so make one excuse for them. Ho sakta hai is wajah se inhone is tarah ki harkat ki. Don't think of them as bad. Give them an excuse. Phir bhi, if your heart says, no, not satisfied, give them another excuse. That maybe he did this. I'm walking past, I see the brother going into the pub. He's going into the pub. Maybe he was thirsty, there was no shop nearby. Give myself an excuse so I don't think bad about a Muslim." Now my mind says, no, he could have gone there. Or maybe there was another reason why he went there. Maybe there was a friend who told him to meet him in there. You see, clear your mind straight away from thinking bad about people. He said, do it 70 times. Your mind says, your nafs says, no, this one doesn't make sense. That one. He said, do it 70 times. After that, tell yourself, look how despicable you are. You can't even make 70 excuses for a fellow Muslim. The problem is you, not him. See? The problem is you, not him. You are quick to be badguman about people. You're quick to be suspicious of people. What's wrong with you? If you were clean-hearted, you would never be suspicious of anyone. You'd think, "Bhai, everybody's better than me." People come to us, tell us, we say, straight away we judge them. This person's done this, we make a judgment about them. "Bhai, he's like this." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't believe everything that you hear. The greatest liar is someone who passes on anything that he hears without verifying, is it true or is it not? Mm-hmm. And our society works like this. Someone saw a TikTok video about something, and he believes it from there. What's your source? What's the reliability? Nothing. Better to stay quiet and say, "I don't know. Somebody said something, I don't know." We have to ask the person, verify. Why are we quick to assume things about a Muslim? It's part of the honor of a Muslim. عِرْض. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Kullu al-muslimi ala al-muslimi haram." Every part of a Muslim is haram on you. Damuhu, his blood is haram on you. You can't physically hurt him. Wa maluhu, his wealth is haram on you. You can't just take his wealth from him unless he happily gives it to you. Wa irduhu, his honor is haram on you. You have to defend his honor. To attack his honor or to allow anyone else to attack his honor and just sit there and be a bystander and say it's okay is haram on you. You have to protect him. Why are you talking bad about him? Have you verified? Do you know the true facts? Why are you talking negatively about fellow Muslims that we only know good about them? Inshallah, we are ready to do this.
Inshallah.
Bismillah, let me say just a few words, inshallah.
Like embarrassed Christianity.